हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमाविर्विशावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so page 37, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, chapter 16, Spontaneous Devotional Devotion, further described. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. One performs service with Sadaka Rupa, the present body, and with the Siddha Rupa, the body which is suitable for serving Braja Krishna, in the particular type of rati or bhava one desires, and which appears through inner contemplation, with a desire for a particular rati, directed to one's beloved Krishna situated in Vrindavan. Tad bhava lipshuna. Footnote 20. The idea here is that it is simultaneous in Raghunuga Bhakti, not at the same instant, but during the same period. For instance, for some hours he will meditate, the rest of the day he will chant, read, and do other deity services. Right? It'll go back and forth, because it's all, he's, at a point it becomes non-different, then, you know, that takes on a whole different thing. Then you're not functioning within sadhana. That would you see your paramahamsas or that. And they don't follow the practices that others do. One should follow after the dear devotees of Krishna, such as Radha, Lalita, Vishakha, Sri Rupa Manjari, and those following after them. Persons such as Sri Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis. Vraja Lokanu Sharataha. Accordingly, one should perform mental service in one's Siddha Rup, following after the examples of Sri Radha, Lalita, Vishakha, Sri Rupa Manjari, and others. In one's physical body, one should perform services using one's body, following after persons such as Sri Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis, situated in Vraja. By the words Vraja Loka, one should understand persons situated in Vraja, Radha, Chandravali, and others. Following after them, one should perform service using one's physical body also.
But this mental body, or whatever it's called,
yes,
it develops on its own?
Means the point is that we have our original form. It's just a matter of being purified where we can actually function within that. Because you have to have it's a level of to use the body like that. You have to be on the level of bhava. So you're liberated. So now you can use the spiritual body. You can't use it before that, because here you can tell that because he says you're engaging in service with that body. So that's different than. What here is that we're thinking about and meditating on those who are doing services to Krishna. Right? So that's the difference, is that the actual position is when you're on the liberated platform, then one can use the spiritual body, because it's your body. But the sahajiyas, they'll say that, no, you just think about it and it's there. Because we have to remember, they're coming from Buddhist tradition. And so then you're going to have the same philosophy of the rabbit meditates on being an elephant, then it's an elephant, you know, according to them. So you have the same problem as that. So that difficulty comes up, is that they don't understand that that's what it's talking about. Before that, you can appreciate those who are doing and think of their service. But only at this point can you render service. Right? So this is specifically talking about that liberated platform. The previous one, with Jiva Goswami's point, it's meaning that, and it can also be talking about, and what Prabhupada meant, those who are steady in devotional service from the Madhyama platform, they could be appreciative if it's clear to them. You know, just like it said that Lord Brahma, then in his position, he was aware of an inclination, a particular rasa, but he didn't know the details. So that's what we're talking about. That's that aspect there. Someone has to understand what it is. The point is, be absorbed in Krishna, right? Like that, and so then it becomes more of a detail, the particular, because it's a particular taste. That's why it says rati. It doesn't say prema, right? It's not saying madhurya prema, because that's the experience. They're saying rati, which is the attraction. And rati also is non-different from bhava. Right? The term rati and bhava are synonyms. Because you have that attraction, then when it comes to that particular level, then the experience is that of prema. But rati is always there, yes.
The word used is possessiveness. The
possessiveness, yes.
When there is possessiveness, then it becomes prema.
Yes.
Before that it is
rati. It's rati, yes. So, when having that, there's an attraction. Like that. So, does that make sense? So, they're not contradictory. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is giving a little bit more detail, pointing out that in this body you'll do this service, in that body you'll do that service. You don't here do that service. That's what Sahaji is doing. Right? So, as was pointed out before, is that you act as a neophyte and do all the regular rules that are there. So this whole thing is, oh, we're doing Raga Nuga, we don't follow the rules. It's like, which Acharya says that? Prabhupada didn't say that, Jiva Goswami didn't say it, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur didn't say that. So then who's saying that?
Yes.
You know? Yes.
Then this particular footnote, you know, which mentions about simultaneous activity.
Yes.
Internally Raga Nuga and externally Vaidhi. So, that is performed at the level of bhava. I just want to clarify this.
It's performed at the
level of bhava, this particular activity.
But which particular activity?
It says simultaneously Raga Nuga is performed internally and externally it's vaidhi. So then, this goes on at the level of bhava. That's my question.
The internal or the external?
Both, at the same time. Because...
But that's then you're confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Because what did we say about the external? How does one present oneself?
As a neophyte.
So then, why would you ask if that's the thing? It doesn't. The service doesn't change. You're still performing the standard activities of Vaidhi Bhakti.
Because it's saying, for instance, he will do chanting, reading, etc., and then he takes some time for meditation. So the meditation is where he's going to.
Yeah, but yes.
But, is it so?
That's what's so, but the point is that what you're doing externally is on the platform of bhava. That's not what is being said. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? But what to elaborate on? Yes, but see, the thing is you're asking what's going on internally. We say that, and externally you're performing the sadhana, the vaidhi, and so then the doubt is there. Is no, but why isn't it both bhava? But it's saying here it's not. The acharyas are saying it's not. It's saying in the Siddha Rupa, you're performing the activities on the platform of bhava. In the Sadhaka Rupa, you're performing the regular Vaidhi like everybody else. So that's what I'm saying, is it's two aspects. So he's saying is they're going on simultaneously, means both things are happening, you know, it's one or the other, but they're not in the same instant. So it's not, it means we could use different words here.
Mm-hmm.
Got it? Okay.
Maharaj, I want to check my understanding regarding, a devotee, after advancement, when he gets to Raganuga Sadhana stage, the only difference what we can perceive is, he is doing all the activities which a Vaidhi Sadhaka is doing, but it may not be in a time frame, because he sees everything as same and he has intense attraction, so he may perform one activity all throughout.
Yes, but that'll be the hearing, chanting, remembering.
Yeah.
But when it's time for Mangalarti, he'll do that at Mangalarti time. He won't do it, you know, at 10 o'clock because that's what he felt like. That's the Sahajas.
Because also he has this aspect of associating with Vaishnavas. There he presents as one among them.
Yes, yes. So he follows the regular pattern of things that everybody else is doing. Like that. But you might see, you get symptoms of it, and just seeing the depth of their understanding, or you can see like the Goswamis here, is, you know, they're staying up all night and all that. Like Madhvacharya, what, did he sleep? No, he just played Veena all night. Like, you know, who plays Veena all night? Madhvacharya, yes. Like that. So, you know, you can get ideas, but their practices are going to be the same. Prabhupada's practices are the same. But you can understand from how what he speaks and how he sees his vision that he's not on our level. But the activity is done on our level. Right? See, it's very important, why, because otherwise there's this idea is that as you advance, you change the external form. It doesn't change. You may get more specific, you may drop off things that aren't so important. Does that make sense?
Also, there is this aspect that because we are in material world, we do a service which matches this.
Yeah, because you can only do a service with this body that matches this body.
Because the bhava and prema, to exhibit that characteristics, one requires the ambience of being present in the presence of Krishna and others.
That, but at the same time as you have that body. So that body can do things. This body has other things that it does. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's just like say, you don't, shave your face in the Siddha Rupa. Does that make sense? But, and you don't, you know what I'm saying? You're not wearing a dress in your Sadhaka Rupa. You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem with the, what do you call them? The Saki Bakis. They dress up in a sari, they put on, you know, those little pearls on their nose, and, you know, try to be very effeminate. But, you know, you don't have to be a Saki Baki to do that. You know, you can just be an artist, and it's, it works. Right?
There's plenty of Saki Bakis now in the West.
Sorry?
Plenty of them.
Yeah, so many of them. You understand?
And they don't have a Saki.
But so the point is they're mixing these things because there's this idea it's something different because their vision is external, therefore they're trying to take this and apply it into the external when it's not. It's just talking about there comes a point that in the development that there's that you perform the duties here, you may have the consciousness, you know, you have the consciousness of that of someone on bhava. That's why it's so easy for you to do the sadhana, because you don't have distractions. But you're still going to follow the regular form. And then, when it comes to the spiritual, then on that platform, then through meditation, then you're going to do other activities. But the point is you have to be qualified to be, by assisting them, you can do that, but to be doing those things yourself, you have to be on the platform of Apan Das. So we're talking about entry level is just bhava. Then you can start to associate with these persons. But you can't perform service for Krishna until you've gotten to Apan Das directly. You have to be, you're assisting them. Even when you're on that platform, you're assisting them. Even if you happen to be directly interacting, but the mentality has to be, I'm serving as a servant. Otherwise, then why does, if you're not representing the service of the servants of the servants of Radharani, why would Krishna in Braj be accepting your service? Because if you're doing it on your own, means then it's just about you without the whole entourage. So that doesn't happen in the Bhagavan level, that happens in the Paramatma level. And so then why are you trying to do things here? You should be in Vaikuntha. But even that, because there is happening on that level, therefore you have to be a yogi and meditating on Supersoul. So you have to know the context that it's in. So the acharyas are just pointing out these levels so that you know that it's there. So when it comes up, you're not surprised. But it doesn't mean that because we read it, now it's ours. You know what I'm saying? We read about how, you know, Bill Gates made his billions. Does that mean now we're making billions? No. So it's the same thing. You're a billionaire, then you can give $30 billion in charity. Can you give that now? No, but the principle that you give in charity, that you can do. So that's the point. That's where sadhana is. It's all the activities that one's doing. It's the same activities that of the spiritual world that are given to us as sadhana. You know, from the Sahajiya line, it comes across that the sadhana is something lower. Just like the Mayavadis, they'll say the karmis are lower, a bhakti's lower. These are just false ego. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we have to be able to get beyond this. You know, it's just like before, you know, we've gotten beyond Varnashram. We have to get beyond this point. You know, otherwise we're not going to get anywhere. We haven't even, you know, we're just starting in here. We're still in the first, you know, side of the ocean. Right? So, you know, second side, of the southern side, the western side, and the northern side, that's only dealing on this level. So if we can't tell the difference, we won't be able to appreciate it. So, yes?
I think that this verse is it's very crucial to understand, because for many, and we discussed it just now, is that they merge two bodies. They don't see it as separate.
Yeah,
and it creates a lot of confusion in the body's mind, and that you see the body and the sadhaka body as if it is one, but actually, as you
yes,
just explained,
that's a good point. It's two separate things.
And if we accept it, then we can move forward, but otherwise we're stuck.
Yeah, because the point is, see, this is the principle that is there. That it's coming from this advanced level. Now, do we see any problem in the devotees in the line or acharyas, not who are acting as avadhuts or paramahamsas like this? Do we see that they, according to their particular physical and psychological position of this world, do they not engage it according to that? In other words, do they not engage in varnashram? Do we have any of our acharyas who aren't engaging according to varnashram? No. They all follow. Why? Because it's the eternal principle. In the spiritual world, depending upon the mood, you have a particular body. Therefore, that body and that situation goes with that mood. So you perform those activities. But that, you've gotten it from the devotional. Well, here, we've gotten it by karma. But the principle of that we do it is the same. Someone in a masculine body does masculine stuff. Someone in a feminine body does feminine stuff. Someone who's a Brahmin does Brahmin stuff. Someone who's a Kshatriya does Kshatriya stuff. And they do that for Krishna. Because otherwise, Arjuna already tried doing the Brahmin stuff as a Kshatriya, and that, you know, we don't even get out of the first chapter of Gita. Right? You know, so that's the whole point, is that it's about just, it's, if we're not the body, what does it matter? Like, I'm not this table. So do I have a problem in just doing table stuff with this? Do I say, oh, no, but the table actually wants to hold the water? Why the water pot gets to hold all the water and all that? Why can't I hold the water and stick the books in there? It won't work. So if we're not the body, we just go, what body is it? So you do the services. So this body does these services. That body does those services. Because this body won't really work there. We're thinking it's a great body, but that's why one of the things that Krishna showed Arjuna, because Abhimanyu was killed and he lost all enthusiasm, that they still have a war to win. So he says, okay, you want to see your son? Yes, yes. So then Krishna took him and they went up to the moon planet, right? Because he's son of Soma, so he that's where he hangs out. And so when they walked in, then it was kind of like the people in the palace go, you know, Krishna came and all like this. And they didn't even recognize that. They didn't even look at Arjuna. And so, and it was noticed that some people went, what's that smell? It smells like humans. You know, it's kind of like, you know, what are humans doing around here? Because Krishna's there, so they're looking at Krishna, interacting with Krishna. And then he sees his son, and it's kind of like, yeah, who are you? Because 16 years is 16 days for the demigods. So he did Abhimanyu pastimes for 16 days. Right? And so a few of those are going to be a kid. Right? You know, so then, you know, from five, you know, they get more focused on that. So that's, you know, it's already, that's 11 days. You know, so what's the big deal, especially compared to the heavenly planets? So it's just, then he understood is that that particular jiva came, took part as the sun, and now he's gone to onto other things. And so then he could be detached, then he could go back to the battlefield, and then he could focus and do his service. Right? So the whole thing is that we're taking this body so special. It's not. It works for here. On Bhumandala, within Bharata Varsha, within Bharata Khanda, it works fine. But you take it to any other one, it can't go to any of the other Varshas. Right? And two, nobody else wants them around. Does that make sense? So it's just, it's for here. It works here. So we use it here. And the body there, it's for there. It works there. So if that's clear, then we understand. That goes on. You can see, is the activity sensed of the same activities, why can't you do them in a more advanced consciousness? In chanting your japa, it's not that, oh, we chant as a neophyte, therefore as when we become a madhyama, we don't chant. And when we become an uttama, we really don't chant. No, it's the uttamas, they always chant. The madhyamas then are quite focused. The neophytes sometimes chant and sometimes don't. Right? Does that make sense? That's the whole thing, the range that's going on. And so then as that position, then they just have more and more advanced consciousness. But the activities are for the body. So sadhaka rupa does sadhaka stuff, which means it's according to the 64 items given by Srila Rupa Goswami. Like that. And they all follow it. They don't do something else. Does that make sense? And then the siddha rupa, then you do the activities that are there, but it's according to your position. Right? Radharani does her stuff and the others assist. Sakis do certain things that manjaris don't do. Manjaris do things the sakis don't do. Like the sakis are making the arrangements, the manjaris assist. But at the same time, manjaris can go into the kunj when Radha and Krishna are interacting because they're younger. So that's the whole thing, is you're a kid. They're older. They get into this stuff. You're a kid, you don't. You know? Same stuff your parents tell you, right? You know? This is not for you. That's just the way it is. Where does it come from? You know? Like, you know, mothers, they're kids, they're just kids. Doesn't matter how old they are. Right? In India, the tradition is you call them kids until they get married.
Yeah. And Jewish until they become a doctor or a lawyer.
Yes. And get married. Yeah. Like that. And have the house, and have the cars, and have the bank balance. Yeah. So, you know, it's just the way it is. In the West, then, you know, it's everyone's. But no, it's just because that's how Mother Jashoda sees Krishna. She didn't see Krishna like that, then all the rumors about him and the gopis, she'd be worried about him. But he's just a kid, so she's not worried about him. Like that. So it's just from there, but you follow the what form you have. And so the saying here is they're using that form means you have to be able to function in that form, means you can only do that from bhava. You can't do that from less than that. Right? Less than that means we're appreciating those who are doing this service. Right? So it's very clear that we're appreciating. We're not doing it ourselves. Here you're just doing is whatever they engage you in doing. Right? Because you have to follow the path. Here we imagine so we can come up with whatever we want. But there, if you're in the pastimes, means you're following what's going on there. You know? You know. Otherwise, you end up with Judas singing Jesus' lines. You know? So, yeah, it just doesn't work. Yes?
Yes. During the lecture of the verse, also you said that it's by the internet.
By the?
Internet behavior. If you want to be a giver, for example. Give service, and that we achieve this more and more emotion, because more and more interaction.
Yes.
But also in our service devotional, will be more and more qualitative,
It means, yes, the quality of it will improve. But the external form may be exactly the same. It means if you're already doing it right, it doesn't need to improve. But the subtleties, well, you know, always, it's like anything. You know.
I have a question in reality, just the situation.
Okay.
You said in material world, you can do some service for not the same than in the spiritual world, but this is the internal behavior will be same. Krishna remember our attitude and what we done for him.
Yes.
So, if here I pass the bruise and the spirit can, with thinking I do that for the pleasure of Krishna, it function.
Yes, but it means we're doing it for the pleasure of Krishna, that's good. But then, as we're saying here, because we're discussing this point, we see the guna and karma that our gross and subtle body have, and then perform activities within that context for the pleasure of Krishna. So therefore, Arjuna, according to guna and karma, is performing the activities of a kshatriya, while someone like Sudama Brahmana is performing the activities of a Brahmana.
When we live in the temple, we do a blessing.
We do, but that's the duties of you know, let's say the when we're living in the brahmachari ashram, that kind of thing. We just do whatever we do, but it's within that context. We're working under authority, so the authority is telling us to do different things. So that's why then when you're looking at that, Prabhupada then explains that in the for the managers, they have to, one, be focused on, understand pure devotional service, and two, they have to understand varnashram so they know how to engage the devotees. Even though they're transcendental, but they still, as the body and the mind is not. The soul, the consciousness may be, but the body and mind you're working with are not. They're still the same. They become spiritualized. You know? So therefore, you have to understand, okay, who can do book distribution? Who can cook? You know, the general things like chanting, going to the temple, cleaning, these things, these are just standard things.
So for the person who executes the service, for arrive at this state, what he should think and what are the traps, what are the material attachments?
Material attachment is just we're getting our own benefit from it. Like that, instead of doing it for Krishna. That's what it means. Yeah. Some modern persons, following the Sauramya Sampradaya, think that since persons such as Radha did not perform services such as surrendering to Guru, following Ekadasi vows, and serving Shaligram and Tulsi, we need not do those activities. That idea is defeated here. Jiva Goswami's commentaries explain this with the words Vraja Lokas, Tvatya Krishna Preshta Janas, Tad Anugatas Chatad Anu Sharata. Rajaloka means those dear to Krishna, like Sri Radha, etc., and persons following after them, like Sri Rupa, etc. One should follow in their footsteps. Right? So Radharani, but then following them is like Rupa, etc. Right? And then that Rupa, etc. here, what did they do? Right? They gave us all the rules.
Even in this context, Radha means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yes, yes. And then we're following there. Yes. Is that? Yeah. Main thing is we make this distinction, then it becomes very simple. This body is going to do what this body can do in service to Krishna. The consciousness may elevate, so you're more and more absorbed in Krishna when you're doing it. But at the same time as doing activities in the spiritual world until you're on the liberated platform in bhava, and you've come to that level of bhava, then one can appreciate, because otherwise you can be liberated and not on the platform of bhava yet. Right? Because liberated just means there's no material, but you have to have the positive or the attraction towards Krishna. Of course, once you get there and you associate with devotees, very quickly it will develop. But the point is that you have this rati or bhava. That's what they're saying. I'm only pointing out liberated because on the material platform we generally give a good, how you say, respect towards the position of liberation. And so when you use that, then we understand it's not with the platform I'm on. right? And so there, because we say Baba, Rati, oh no, but you know, liberated. Oh, okay, no. You know, I can do whatever I want. Are you rich? Well, no. So, the idea is to bring it into a real perspective of reality that we're trying to get. So that's all the acharyas are pointing out. This is where it goes to. So if you just keep chanting, this will develop. Right? If it hasn't developed by the time you leave the body, if you remember Krishna, you'll go there where it will develop. But then you don't have to worry about the sadhaka rupa anymore. Makes it easier.
And they said it's for blossoming.
It's for blossoming. You can, but then the point is what is Radhe doing? She's serving Krishna, hence Hare Krishna. It's a matter of understanding, because see, if the only idea is only if you're chanting Radhe, are you remembering Radhe, then there's a problem, because someone on the platform where they're absorbed in the service of Radharani, then by chanting Hare Krishna, they're already absorbed in Radha and Krishna. So you can do these things, but who does it? Lord Chaitanya doesn't do it. The Goswamis don't do it. Right? The Acharyas didn't do it. Prabhupada didn't do it. So who's doing it? Except for Babaji's, maybe in Navadvipa, but generally they say Jaini Thai. So that's not going to fly. So we have to go for the Vrindavan side. So that means either the Govardhan Babaji's, but most people don't know about them because, where are they? There's hardly any Govardhan. So that means it's down at Radhakund. And so then if you want to pick stuff up from them over there, then, hey, go for it. But if you want to go back to Godhead, that's a whole different topic. Yeah, because otherwise Prabhupada said, from doing all the whatever they're doing and this and that, then all these wallas end up as the in Radhakund there's turtles, they end up as them. They're in Radhakund, but they're turtles. So one wants to be very careful. It's not enough. You can pick these things up. Yeah, you can pick up so many things. Just like at school, you can pick up, smoking cigarettes. It goes on there. But it's not necessary. So therefore, why would they do it? They say it's for blossoming. Okay, but the point is then it blossoms then, and then what happens when they stop? Does the flower close again? What happens? So, how is it part of the sadhana? So it's just like you're chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, so it's 16 words, right? So 8 of those are Hare, which is Radharani. So then.
When we are chanting Hare, we are conscious about it's Krishna Shakti. Now when we are about Radha, it's like very specific we are going. But as we discussed in the morning, that without knowing that Krishna possesses Shakti, there is no point in entering into the pastimes.
Yes. Because even you're chanting Radha's name, but Radha, is that Braja Radharani? They'll say, but Braja Radharani means it's connected to Krishna. Depending upon where you are in the world, especially, from the northern part of the Mediterranean, kind of straight up, all the way to, about. Just Karmi girls are named by their parents Radha. It's not an unknown name. So, which Radha? Because there's a lot of Radhas around. So that's the whole thing. They can say it's for blooming, but the point is the Acharyas mention here that this has to be consistent. So only when you're consistent in devotional service do things like that happen. You know? So, yeah. So one has to understand this.
I was just wondering, like the other day you were saying that there's a 24-hour kirtan that is going on in some temples, like, but actually to follow it 100% is just to follow Prabhupada's.
Yes, because kirtan means anything about Krishna. Right? You have another thing that's there, it comes from Bengal, called a Kandanam, which means they only chant Hare Krishna. But for us, then kirtan means anything that's connected with Krishna and his names. His names, his form, his quality, his pastimes, his associates, the dham, like this. So to limit it, that 24-hour kirtan is only a kandanam, that also the acharyas don't say, Lord Chaitanya didn't practice, you know, Prabhupada didn't practice and all that.
I was just wondering, like, how it can go on. I mean, I'm not into making politics or anything, but it's just to put oneself on top of Prabhupada, like to...
But these things, the point is that we know what we're supposed to do, and we do that. The point is, if others do that, at least they're chanting, so that's a nice thing. It's not a bad thing to chant. We're not saying if they chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day, it's not a bad thing. But to say that only that is kirtan, that's where a problem comes in. But that they're chanting, that's great, because it is kirtan. So if someone does that, so then that's the way it goes. You know? And then when you say, okay, but probably in the morning, you know, japa is also counted as part of it. They say, no, it has to be kirtan. Oh, okay, but what about Srimad Bhagavatam class? Oh, we sit down and chant japa during that time, so the Hare Krishna is going on. But now if you can chant japa, and that becomes the kirtan during the Bhagavatam class, why during the japa period, that's not counted as kirtan?
It's a little confusing.
Yes, because the point is it's not our philosophy. It's just straight up front, not our philosophy. Like that. See, is for those who live somewhere else, it may look interesting. But if you live here, it's like, you know, many times a year, you know, you can't go to sleep at night because those wallahs are doing quote-unquote kirtan. You know, that means from our front gate to Hulargat, there's at least 11 or 12 Gaudiya Mats, each different from the other one. And we're not even counting going the other way up towards Yogapith. You know, and then up to Vrajapatan. We're not counting that. You know, and then so we grow up in these environments, it's just an ordinary thing. You know, it's just like you don't even care. You don't even notice. So they say their things. That's what they say. You know, it's just that everybody says their stuff. You know, the rickshaw wallahs always stop and want to know if you want to ride, and the businessmen are always interested. But you just don't pay any attention. So just because they say these things, they do these things. Why should we care? Right. But if you go to other places, you can actually move in circle without. And then when you come across them, then they seem so special. But around here, they're literally a dime a dozen. Probably here, I guess we should convert it to 10 pice a dozen. It's just, they're cheap. That's why it's called Sahajya. It's cheap. It has no value. The acharyas say, no value. So that's the thing. Here it's just cheap. We don't care. Others go, they get bewildered, this and that. We don't care. It's just stuff you do. You know what I'm saying? So our acharyas have given us what to do, how to do, and everything like that. Now in this, what I'm meaning, I meant, because we're talking about this, and that comes from the sahajyas. I'm not saying the Gaudiya Mats in the category of sahajyas. I'm just saying, when it comes to that, because they don't do it either. When they do their kirtan, they'll always start with Hari Harai Nama Krishna, because that's what Lord Chaitanya started with. Like that. And Prabhupada even said, we should always be hearing the Hare Krishna mantra, the Panchatattva mantra, and the Hari Harai Nama Krishna. So that's counted as part of the kirtan. Yeah.
So you're saying we have to walk the 64 items?
Yes. Yes.
If you miss some points, is it?
No, you do what you can. It means the 64 are there to keep one always engaged, according to one's position, one's nature, what's available, and all that. Like it says, if the deities are going, you follow. If the deities aren't, you're walking down there, you just walk down the road. It's when they're happening, then you take part. But it says, of those, then we have the 9 are main, and of those, then the 5 are main, because the 5 include everything. And of that, hearing and chanting is important. So then that's how we keep ourselves busy. So, yeah? Does that make sense? So, therefore, as Bhaktivinoda Thakura mentions, others do these that we don't care. But they shouldn't preach. They want to fragment it, fine. They're chanting. But if they start preaching and this and that, and then, you know.
Why do you perform sadhana? Why do you perform our sadhana, chanting and everything, studying scriptures? We should not too much worry about developing the siddhi rupa. It will gradually get developed as we advance.
Yes, you don't have to worry about developing the siddhi rupa. Like that. It comes on its own. This whole thing is, no, I have to make it happen, means I'm the controller and I'm the doer. Or that bhakti is dependent on karma. It's only if I do the activity it'll happen. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole thing. 296. The discriminating practitioners should accept the angas, which were mentioned in Vaidhi Bhakti, such as hearing and chanting, as the angas of Raganuga Bhakti. Right, so they just become, they're on the platform of Raganuga, but it's still the angas of Raganuga. That's the whole point, is that spontaneous devotion service is further explained, that it's still the same angas. There may be more of a focus on more direct ones. And why is the extension beyond that? Because by our conditioning, we require certain things. Does that make sense? Like, let's say the person is into music, right? You know, by their conditioned nature, right? So then, naturally, they like to engage in the kirtan and learn the instruments and get into it and do all that, and they can do all kinds of far-out things and unique things and this and that. So they're doing that because they're engaging in Krishna service. And it's service. You know, it's that where you've taken the Varnashram and connected it with the Pancharatra, because Pancharatra, part of it is singing for the deities and all these things like that, and the Bhagwat, the Harinam. So it works. But now let's say, and so they're into this tune, that tune, and this tall, and that tall, and everything like that. But with time, then they may say it's just, what's important to them is just the chanting the holy name. So they may not worry as much about a fancy tune or a fancy mridanga beat and all that. They'll just, whatever's available, they'll do. Someone's there that plays mridanga nicely, great. They'll use some nice. But if not, then anything works. You see Prabhupada. He's sitting there in Thompson Square Park. He's playing a one-headed bongo. It doesn't even have two heads, right? Bongos generally have two. This is only a one-headed bongo. And you see is that if we play bongo, you just get, you know, a sound out of it. You need two to get two different sounds. He's taking one-headed bongo and getting so many sounds out of it. That means he technically knows so much, but he's just simply doing, that's enough. We can say, oh, it's not a mridanga, this, that, blah, no, it works. When the devotee came along with the mridanga, or actually when some kid came along with the mridanga, then probably, oh, okay, now we start, then where did that come from? Then they get, and then they introduce the mridanga. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's what you do. Like Prabhupada was doing Artik alone. No one knew anything, no one knew the songs and all that. He just, something he did in his room. So he'd have a whole bunch of bells. You know, put them all between the different fingers like that, and then ring those so that you have a whole orchestra going on. Because the devotees is just, oh, Prabhupada's doing bells. They used to call it bells. Artik was called bells. You know? Because he just rang all the bells. You know? And then later, then they learn the song, then they start singing and stuff like that. So it's just a matter of you use whatever's there. So you see, he can use all the technical, but it's not necessary for him in his own personal sadhana. If it's there, he uses it. If it's not, he can still go on. While someone, let's say, who's attached to music, they have to have, and they don't have good musicians, and people can't follow the tune, they freak out. Right? They decide, okay, here, I'm going to sing this tune, and if no one can follow it, they freak out. You know, no one can follow it, they freak out. So the whole point is then one sees with time, they mature, they advance in devotional service, it's just about the name. Right? Because taste can be in the form of that it's a quality of presentation, or it can be just it's the name, it doesn't require quality. So when you get to that second one, then you might see that they're not so worried about it. You understand? And so that whole sitting, practicing, going through things, working out all technical tunes and all that, you may see they even stop doing that. You know, so they use the time more for hearing and chanting, other services and stuff like that. So the point is how much is necessary to keep of the nature to engage it, that only is how much is there. You don't have to keep all of it because it's not, if it doesn't have any purpose. Somebody's there? So, yeah. So that's the whole point, you know. The guy was a race car driver, but now he just, you know, drives to the temple and back, or, you know, drives for the devotees when they go out for a program. That's it. You don't need all the others. He's not out there and doing all the things and drifting around the corners. And, you know, he doesn't do that anymore. He doesn't need to. Before, he needed to because his conditioning required it. Now he's purified where just the basics are there. And so then that's there. So that's where you see, at that point, there's more of a, the culture is very similar. Like that. You understand? So, as a descending process, as we discussed last year, what we saw in the 11th canto, Prabhupada gave us that Paramahamsa culture. It's just something everybody just does, everyone can do, and everything like that. And if you can function on that, why would you do anything else? But if not, then Prabhupada started talking about the importance of Varnashram, because we have to address all these, you know, conditionings and material desires that devotees are manifesting, so that's what Varnashram does. If you don't have, then you just work on the very simple core items of the Varnashram, which is sadhana and sadhana. Right? Because Pancharatra is taken from the Veda. It's just those rules that are connected directly to the Lord, or directly supportive of those directly connected. Right? Is that something? Yeah? Okay. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Rupa Goswami says that learned acharyas recommend that we follow the regulative principles even after the development of spontaneous love for Krishna. Right? So he's saying the learned acharyas, that's their recommendation. So if others say otherwise, what do we care? That's their line, that's their group. Hey, do whatever you want. We're following the acharyas. Right? According to the regulative principles, there are 9 departmental activities as described above. And one should specifically engage himself in the type of devotional service for which he has a natural aptitude. For example, one person may have a particular interest in hearing. Another have a particular interest in chanting. Another may have a particular interest in serving in the temple. So these, or any of the other 6 different types of devotional service, remembering, serving, praying, engaging in some particular service, being in a friendly relationship, or offering everything in one's possession, should be executed in full earnestness. In this way, everyone should act according to his particular taste. So we see we're still working by taste, but it still is something that you can do, because it should be, you can do it. Right? Means you want to do something for Krishna, nice. You have an inclination, but can you do it? That's also then part of the, you know, what should be seen.
I love to study, and I love also to serve. But during the day, I don't try to balance always the most to have a fixed time for study and fixed time for service. If I enter to study, I will always have a tendency to take more time.
So then you put the study at times when it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like in the morning, if you study, you'll study for a long time, but it won't be unlimited because there'll be breakfast. So there'll be a break. And then in the evening, you start studying there, then you can keep on studying, because it won't get in the way of other services. So basically during the day is when these others are done. Unless it's some specific to do with some temple service and some sadhana, then of course. So you just try to find where can you study where you'll do more, if you can do more of them. Or where can you do the service where that'll go more. And then find those places and then... And so then you're always varying your schedule. You know? Until you find things that work.
This taste is the individual's choice, or it is to be like always coming from the spiritual master or authorities?
Is it individual's choice, or it has to be coming from the spiritual master?
He
says that completely our free will and choice, having nothing to do with anybody else, anybody else's recommendations or anything like that? Or is it totally dictatorially about the spiritual master, and we have to do that because he said whether we have that taste or not at all, that's the way it is. And so these are the two options, right?
Yes, after doing the basic sadhana, whatever time is there, it's individual can choose to do that particular service, or you should always confirm with the authorities.
Oh, so doing what you want to do means you cannot confirm it with the authorities. By confirming with the authorities, then it's not what you want to do anymore.
Huh? I didn't get it.
You didn't get it. Yes. Means why, if you there's something you want to do and you ask the authorities if that's all right if you do that, why is that now suddenly not what you want to do anymore? As soon as it's authorized, then you don't want to do it?
Sometimes they say you are
it's just like, I'll give you an example. We used to be where we were on this, the boys' school was over here. So over there, then down the back corner over there, what do you call it? The northeast corner. We had 10 houses, so that was house one. So behind that. So out that way, if you keep going in that direction, then everything out there was sugar cane. Like that. Now you see no sugar cane, or maybe I think on that side now. But it all used to be out there, because it was a little bit high, and so then it would always, because sugar cane takes 2 years to grow. And so the boys, whenever they had free time, then they would go off and snick some sugar cane. And so if they had just eaten it over there, it would have been fine, but then they had been doing that, and they got so bold, they started bringing it back, and I noticed some in the Gurukul. You know, you chew it, and they spit it out. So then you find, okay, what's going on? Then you find out, and then you see the whole thing. Okay, so the boys want to go out there. So then they talk to the guys out in that van, the sugarcane field. So, you know, is it all right to bring the boys, you know, once or twice a week to, you know, during the season when they're cutting? Because there's a time when it's ready, and then they cut it, and they make the juice and everything like that. You know, is it all right to come? And they said, yeah, because the basically thing is how much they can eat in comparison to what's there, how much they can eat. So it's not a big deal to them. So they said, yeah, bring the boys. So then we announced that it's there. You know, the first week, everyone's enthusiastic going out there and that. And the sugarcane walls will even show you where the best sugarcane is. Come there, they have the things for cutting and doing all that. Set it up, the boys all get, they're all chewing on it and all that, and they're happy. And the second week, the third week, but by the sixth week, no one wanted to go. That's the whole point. So they ask, why don't you want to go? You like sugar cane. He says, no, but the taste was there because you were doing it and it was unauthorized. You know? That was the taste. You know? So now that it's authorized, you know. So then, I think we did it once a week or something like that during the season. And then the little kids would always go because they were happy. But the big kids, you know, they were so much. They go now and again, you know, whatever they felt, you know, the bar. So like that. So as soon as if you're something you want to do in your free time, and if you tell the authorities, it's all right, they do this, then if they say yes, now you'll lose the taste. So you want to avoid that because, you know, the taste, you always hear about the taste in Krishna consciousness, you want to cultivate that.
Because
and...
what I'm asking is, the authorities say that you are whimsical. You are doing on your own.
And yeah, so that's why you ask them. Then you're not whimsical. Okay, here, let's try another thing. Let us say lunch, right? And there's rice to all subjects of bodies, right? Okay? Actually, let's leave out the chapatis. Okay? And then, so, then how much you take of the rice, how much of the dal, how much of the sabji, then you look every time to your authority and only take what they say, how much, when they say, you know, like this and everything like that, right? It's not according to taste. You want a little more dal. This guy likes less dal. He likes more sabji. This guy only doesn't like the potatoes. This guy only likes the potatoes. You know, like this. This guy likes a huge pile of rice, and somebody else likes a small pile of rice. No, everybody is taking exactly the same, eating in exactly the same way. In fact, they put them in a line, and they all just pick it up at the same time, chew at the same time, and swallow at the same time. Right? You know, there's a guy down at the end with the drum. Right? You know? And that, yeah? Isn't that how it works? So then why is it that taking prashad, it's authorized, and you eat how you like? How is it that these other activities, once it's authorized, then it's no fun anymore? Whimsical, you just do whatever you like, yeah, but then you talk with them about it and explain why. Other why? Why do you like to do that? Yeah? Yes. Yes. Okay. So, as Prabhupada's saying here, in this way, everyone should act according to particular taste, but you're working within the context of what's authorized. Rupa Goswami's given 64 items, we're working within that. And here, Prabhupada's talking about the 9. So which one you do more? You do more in deity worship, you do more in this and that. You say, no, but they tell me to do this, that. That's service. Then outside of that, what you want to do, then that's what you do. Right? Srila Jiva Goswami. The angas here refer to those angas of Vaidhi Bhakti which are favorable to one's particular Raganuga cultivation. Right? So it means if you're more absorbed in hearing and chanting, you do that more. You know? Does that make sense? Because it's where the taste is. It doesn't mean what's there, because we're talking here what's with the sadhaka rupa. Right? But you don't say, we only do those angas that are important for the siddha rupa. Right? Does that make sense? Because we don't read in the pastimes that the gopis are sitting down and chanting their japa. Doesn't mean they're not, but you don't hear about it. So then according to that, then what things you would do? Right? So then it would only be things within in deity worship. Then we say, but that's all Vaidhi. So now what are you left with? Mahakalapura. Yes.
So we are always the mood of Vrajya. You said it's without anxiety and Vaikuntha. Vrajya is always how they think is Krishna.
The point is they're always absorbed in Krishna. So whatever scenario is there, they're seeing it in the context of Krishna, whatever it is.
There's some devotees here also.
Whatever they do, fine. What do we it means the point is this. Prabhupada says we learn something. Let's say he gives the example of flying the airplane. So this airplane, you've learned how to fly the airplane. But flying the airplane, you have to do it yourself. Someone can't fly it with you. So the point is so many people do so many things. What do we care?
So we are trying to add to the same way for the universe in the La Krishna, like the Brahma realization, you said, the way, and to do everything for the pleasure of Krishna, and
yeah.
Everything comes to me, you think it's a blessing, or
yeah, you just, whatever situation you're in, you try to connect it to Krishna. That's all. Because you make certain arrangements, but they don't always work. You know, you decide today, okay, I'm going to get out all the winter stuff and wash it and all this and that. And then it's one of these cloudy, overcast days that the humidity is like 80%. So it's not going to work. So, okay, we'll do it another day. You know? Like that. So it's just, you plan your schedule and then it'll work as good as it does. It's material world, it's never perfect. But the point is that we're absorbed in Krishna, then it will work.
And as well, there are many types of devotees and many types of devotees.
Yeah, so that's why you have to be able to focus on your group. What do we care for others? This point of where I'm saying, what do we care? One can say, oh, we can't say that. I'm quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We respect them, but we have nothing to do with them. Others want to do all kinds of stuff. What does it matter? We have what we, our acharyas, have given us our stuff. We do that. If others want to do something else, as long as it's not disturbing the environment or others, then what does it matter? Because all these different groups of devotees are there. That's why the whole system is who is interacting with Krishna, when, in which ways, and all that. You know, after the cowherd boys decide they're going to cook for Krishna, then what does Mother Jashoda do? You know, or Mother Jashoda decides she's going to stay, Krishna will stay at home and she'll play games with him, then what do the cowherd boys do? So everybody has what they do. It's just the way it is. So this whole thing, oh, we can't be restricted and this and that. That it's not a matter of restricting. It's a matter of, you know, if I'm going to cook, I have to have the vegetables in the pot. And if I say, oh, but why are you restricting? You know, I like the vegetables everywhere. They look very nice and everything. Why are you saying I have to put them in the pot? You can put them everywhere. Then they're decoration. If you want them cooked, you have to put them in the pot. So in the same way, as if you want to get this mood that is being given by the acharyas, then you follow what the acharyas give. And if people want to do something else, hey, there's plenty of... The cosmos is unlimited. You can end up wherever you like. But if you want to end up where they're mentioning here, then you stick to that line. You know, and within itself, it's unlimited. You take one thing, it's unlimited. Okay. Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premananda.